Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged? Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editors' meeting.
We're back. I'm back. I've been invited back somehow. And you guys are in for a treat because Gareth is back. Said back about four times now. He's back from America. How was your trip, Gareth?
I'm bringing sexy back.
Can we start? Let's start again.
No, that stays. I'm a guest this week because I've just got back from holiday. I was in America. I had to come back before I went up any more dress sizes, though, because eating out there is crazy.
You've been somewhere?
Do you not know? God, Jay,
the listeners would have noticed that you were missing for 2 weeks.
Well, no, but not the safe hands that we left them in, Gina.
I mean, yeah, also true.
But it's nice to be a guest. I feel like a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
Feel quite relaxed.
We've swapped places, and we've actually swapped places physically too. He's Gareth sitting where I normally sit, and I'm sitting where Gareth sits.
Yeah, we go.
And we've also got returning guest Kyra.
Hello.
How are you?
Do you know, I'm actually happy to be here today.
You weren't that happy last week.
I think it's because you're hosting again.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my word. Do we have to have these digs?
I'm glad I make you feel comfortable and happy on the podcast. And then we have James, our editor-in-chief of Cool Shit, a.k.a. Little Chief, a.k.a. Little Chef. Yeah, you just have to have that intro every week.
Hey guys,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm cooking up a storm as the little chef.
So the stories were a bit disappointing last week. I don't know if anyone else agreed, but I'm hoping you have something better.
Yeah, you're slightly parroting something. But yeah, it has been pointed out by some listeners that that the stories might not have been. They might have been more on the shit side of the spectrum than the cool side. So I'd like to offer an official mea culpa, which is Latin for I done fucked up. And I sometimes forget that not everyone is as interested in bins as I am. But I think the stories are actually okay this week. But I did say that last week. So yeah. I'll often select stories based off of, like, I'll think of one joke and then I'll think, well, that's going to go in then. And as soon as I thought of binnovation, I thought, that's going in.
He had to put it in.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So what have we got? Have we got something fishy?
You've kind of spoiled it because we're not doing it in that order.
I said if we got something fishy to build it up for you.
All right, thanks. Yeah, we'll get to that. But, okay, no. Firstly, to get us back on track, I thought I'd start with a story that was suggested by the listener who complained. So I thought I'd play it safe. Our mate Dali has been a bit quiet of late, and this story kind of feels like a development of that technology. So again, probably relevant, probably safe. A creator called Strange Thing, straight with a four, has released this line of AI-generated Nike outfits, and the results are pretty interesting, mainly because they look as if they could have been designed by that little rotter Kanye West. Have you guys had a chance to take a look?
Wait, what's that got to do with Kanye West? You have to bring him up every single week.
Not necessarily. Maybe I'm off on this. My first kind of reaction when I saw them is they look very kind of Yeezy engineered by Gap Balenciaga-esque with the kind of hoodedness and also the hidden face and how baggy they are, which kind of, I think, if this is AI generated, then I think that shows kind of how pervasive his influence on culture potentially is.
I don't agree. But for listeners, if you can't see this, because you can't. It's a series of AI generated images, and they're wearing like baggy Nike tracksuits. Just a typical Nike tracksuit, I think. They don't look any different to, what they normally put out. But they've got these like hooded things on, and their faces are covered, and they're
like fencing masks.
Yeah, like fencing masks, and they're in like Renaissance paintings, basically. That kind of style. And what do you guys think?
I don't understand what's impressive about it because they look like.
Because they look like just normal Nike outfits.
Yeah.
I think that's what's impressive about it though, because if I just showed you this and I said, oh, look at the new line of Nike tracksuits, I think you go, oh yeah, nice. I don't think you go, what the fuck's up with those? Whereas often, when you see like AI art or the stuff that Dali does, like you think like something's a bit weird, something's a bit off about this. Whereas this doesn't have that, which is why I thought it was kind of more impressive because the immediate utility of it, that you could actually use AI to kind of design your new line of products. So it's the fact that it's not that noteworthy that in itself makes it noteworthy.
Okay.
Oh, that was good, James.
Yeah, thank you.
So my first, it's funny that you said you had a fishy pun. Obviously there's a fish story coming up or some such shenanigans. But I thought this was a bit fishy when I looked at it, because I thought they were so on point to like current trends that I was like, wait, is this a tie-in? Is there something going on here? Because I think that they do look like this is great advertising for Nike, essentially. Mm. Like, it's really, really good advertising for Nike. I disagree with the points that I think, like, they're just tracksuits. I think there is a little, like, the first two examples do like look like, you know, genuine, just like, you know, tracksuits, and but on trend tracksuits, like the fit is very on trend. But then they kind of start to get a little bit weirder with sort of like a sort of like poncho cape sort of style one, and then I these sort of like masks that they've got on. And then there's, and then it sort of carries on with this one where it's like really sort of like over fabricated, I guess. I think they look really cool. But I think really sick.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I like. It makes you kind of want to go to a shoot in the National Gallery as well, doesn't it? Quite a nice backdrop for all of these Renaissance paintings.
Yeah, I think that's what's quite cool about it, quite unique about it.
The funny thing is, it's got the light swish, hasn't it? But then it's got a fake.
It's got some weird, slightly off Nike swishes, though, in some of them, which I actually think looks quite good.
Yeah, so.
It's like bootleg gear.
Like. Yeah, it's like a bootleg, so the Nike looks like it's been bootlegged, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's the weird thing about it.
Yeah, you get this in a market in Bangkok.
Yeah, exactly. Of which I'd be going, like, yeah, I'll have 10 of those, please, going back.
Christmas sorted?
Yeah, exactly. 10 of the Nike tracksuits, please.
Nikki for Nikki.
There you go.
Did he do this in collaboration with Nike? Or
that's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's fishy.
Well, that's why when you said it at first, I thought, oh shit, you're about to debunk my story. But I don't think so. I think he's just a guy and just decided to do it. And still did the same. This is why I put it in as well, because it feels like I said, a development on Dali, but one that is kind of more immediately useful. And we said before with like, when we first introduced the idea of Dali, the idea of like, oh, could a computer program design your campaign? And this is literally like a few months later, and I think it's already kind of evolved so quickly that it's showing that it potentially could. And the fact that we kind of stopped, I feel like we haven't spoken about Dali for a while, because something that seemed so kind of novel and mental and almost unfathomable 6 months ago now just seems relatively
there's so many relatively stories normal. About about AI art now, like every,
yeah, exactly. it's
week everywhere. There's one, isn't there?
But that's what I was thinking, you know, where like Dali was the first to break through, like there's this thing, I can't remember if it's the 4 minute mile or the 3 minute, no, 4 minute mile. I mean, like, nobody did it until like in the 50s. And then as soon as somebody did it, it was like 20 people did it the next week. Because once somebody broke through, you're like, oh shit, we can do that. And it kind of sets a precedent, which is why I feel like now this kind of technology is just going to keep snowballing as we're seeing now.
What I find interesting is, I don't know who Nike's agency is, we didn't get any. If this is popular, you know, and it's picked up some traction, like, as a creative, I would be suggesting to the client, like, why don't we produce this AI?
Let's actually make it.
Yeah, let's make it. Because I think that's the next step. So what you're talking about, James, about, like, you know, how, like, you know, that 4 minute mile sort of, like, breakthrough and how something that only started 6 months ago is suddenly, you know, seems super normal. Well, I think take it to the next stage and let's start making it.
Yeah, because this is showing, kind of, that you could, I think that's fairly clear now. Now the next step is to actually do.
Well, exactly. It's taking it out of that AI world, isn't it, and then putting it into the real world, which I think is kind of interesting.
It kind of reminds you of the 4D billboards that everyone started doing after one person started doing it.
I'm kind of sick of them now, to be fair.
I know, we mentioned it before on another podcast, so maybe in a couple of weeks' time or a couple of months' time, we'll be talking about how sick we are of AI art. Who knows?
I feel a bit sorry looking at Jaron sitting over there as designer, who's going to be out of a job pretty soon.
It's a good job he's got his headphones on.
Yeah, good job he didn't hear that.
No, that was really cool. Kyra, did any of that change your mind?
Do you know, I actually did. You've won me over. And to be fair, I would love to buy this red one.
It's well nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Now we can talk about fishy things, James.
Right, so we're in unanimity there. That was a good story, yeah?
You're safe.
We agree. Okay, good. Right, so now that we've re-established our credibility, I think we should bring it back down a level. Salmon sperm. So, yeah, this next story is about a sector that I know a great deal about, beauty. According to consumer data analyst Spate, salmon sperm DNA is gaining traction in the South Korean skincare market as the next big thing in beauty. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
It just doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, because, I've heard that just sperm in general is quite good for the face.
But even all these kind of
that
weird...
sounds, yeah. I'm supposed
to be the grown-up in the room, but I can't help it. I'm afraid to tell you
that person lied to you. Which, to be fair, that was my first thought with this. I said this yesterday, like, is there just one really crafty salmon out there?
That's good for you.
It's great.
Give it a go.
Is that your salmon voice?
Oh my god, you do sound like a salmon. I had a feeling. Well, it's actually the
DNA.
The DNA that grows in the sperm. It's not the actual physical salmon.
Yeah, because
sperm.
I was wondering who had that job.
Yeah. Who's wanking up all the salmons?
I don't know. Playing a tiny violin.
What's your job?
Yeah, I'm a salmon wanker.
That's your salmon wanker voice.
But yeah, no, you're right. There is a level of kind of process, I guess,
from
the fish to the face.
Yeah. And like I said, it doesn't surprise me because Korean skincare is always like pioneering market for this type of stuff where their beauty...
Fishy stuff,
but also not just the food, like the beauty market. There's always weird and wonderful ingredients going in things. And people are always wanting more and more weird and wonderful ingredients like snail mucus and shit, so...
I don't know if it just feels like it because we're in the West, but like I look at a lot of things coming out of... you know, Asian countries thinking like, oh wow, they're really ahead of the game and they know
chopsticks. What?
Korea and Japan, it's just things seem futuristic when they come out of those countries, and I don't know if that's just my Western eyes glazing over it, but it certainly does. Yeah, I agree. I've got a question about this, like what, like how, like I know I read the article, I know it says like the DNA, that's what I found interesting about it. Like, how are they harvesting the DNA of the salmon? I don't.
They still have to get the sperm, though. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. What? Like, I'm a bit confused.
Are you looking at me to explain?
You brought the story.
Salmon sperm story. I'd be like, first question is like, how are they getting that then?
Funnily enough, in the article, it doesn't say actually.
Gareth's been a pervert and wanted to know how they get the salmon to wank.
let me see your hands. I honestly don't know, and frankly, but this is what made me wonder, because I'm worried that I'm gonna put this in and then it's good. The reaction is gonna be no, this is really awful. They're like harvest. It's a really nasty process.
Like animal cruelty.
A bit like animal cruelty. Although it doesn't sound very cruel thinking about it.
Stop it.
I've got a question for the girls in the room. So like beauty products, do you? Do you put a lot of weight in the technologies that come out? Do you feel like you believe them, or is it more interesting to you if a friend has just gone like, oh, this is good?
Well, you saw it on TikTok and spent £50
on a perfume that doesn't smell like anything.
I would say the science does make it. Like, I like to think that like if it's backed by something, it makes me believe it more. But seeing it on TikTok and seeing like befores and afters, or having like actual like people be like, this has changed my life. Like that's what will more make me buy it than like.
So absolute strangers. You prefer absolute strangers.
Trust my
TikTok.
Yeah, we don't like scientists.
Absolute strangers.
No, I agree with you though. Like, I like an actual person, not just an influencer saying like this is really great. But the science is interesting, but it's usually really pricey because of all the like sciencey stuff and these like ingredients. So I'm assuming this is not cheap.
Probably. I kind of hope not.
It's
to be honest.
Like accessibility, and that's also involved in like what you're choosing to use, right?
Would you use it, Gareth?
I want to point out as well, you said this is to the girls in the room, granddad. Well, men can use beauty products as well. I've got a skincare routine.
Is that not a female product though?
Not necessarily.
There's no such thing anymore.
Do you not have a face?
Let me
chat this through, because like there is a difference. Like, say, I'll give you an example of moisturiser, right? Using my moisturiser, a male skin moisturiser, yeah? It's kind of, no. It cakes on quite easily. Using, like, what is a female moisturiser for women, yeah? fucking stings you. It's like watery. It's horrible. The difference is
you're digging a hole.
I think you're digging a hole. Because men and women have the same skin.
I might be digging a hole, but the products that I steal from Nikki,
expensive ones, probably. Well, yeah, that you're wasting.
They sting my face, and they're a little bit more. They feel more watery, whereas like the moisturisers I use feel a bit more cakey.
And they smell of sandalwood and beer.
Yeah.
Although, but have you seen the blokes in Korea? They're beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
They're gorgeous. So that's why the fact that it's in the Korean market makes me think that it's probably not just targeted at the ladies.
Fair enough.
That tells you, Gareth. Yeah. Maybe we can get you some.
I mean, I'm open to it.
We'll do a trial.
Even salmon sperm.
Cool. No, that was a good story, James. It's cool. It was innovative, which is what we want on this podcast.
There we go.
So, Cara, have you got anything that you think would trump that?
I've got the first flying car in the US market has been developed and approved by the FAA. I don't know who they are, but
the Flying Association of America, probably. I'm genuinely, that was a guess, but I'm gonna stand by it.
So it's called Switchblade. They're actually street and road legal, and it's got three wheels, and then it can be transformed into a flying car. It has a pair of wings and a tail that expands and collapses whenever you want it to. And it does this in under 3 minutes.
That's cool. It just makes me think, what makes it a car if it's then in the air?
The wheels. Like when it's on the ground, it doesn't have the wings, but so it's a car.
Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
How is it a flying car? It's just because you can drive it. I'm going to back Gina up here. I'm questioning, because you can't drive a plane.
You can't say that the wheels are things, planes are wheels.
So does a trolley. That doesn't make it a fucking car. Like,
maybe I didn't explain it properly. It's car sized. It's the size of a car. It's got wheels like a car.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the picture.
Sorry, let me have a look at the picture, James.
Here you go. It looks like a plane when it's all like that. It's quite an ugly car without the wings, though.
It is quite ugly. It's very pointy.
A pointy car. But I think it's quite cool. Like, you can literally drive down to the airport, then you fly, and then you land, and you drive home.
It looks like a beak.
The difference is it's apparently road legal in a way that a Boeing 747 isn't.
Ooh, James knows about planes. It does surprise me that it's taken this long for someone to make something like this, though. Because when you think of the future, when you're younger, you always think of flying cars and things like that. So
yeah.
Are you guys surprised that it's taken this long, or are you impressed by it?
I've got to say, looking at the design of it, no, looks a bit shit. Do you know what I mean? Because to your point, flying cars have always been a bedrock of science fiction.
Yeah, the Jetsons. That's what you think of.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Futurama.
This looks like. So it's a bit of a shit Postman Pat vehicle.
It looks tinny, doesn't it?
Yeah. Have they made the first flying car on the cheap?
I think they
basically.
Have.
Well, it's actually not that expensive. It's £170,000.
That's not bad,
That's quite expensive.
No, it's not. Really. You could save up for that if you really tried.
I said some cars are 100k, no?
So there you go.
You're getting a car that flies. Also, not the picture of it in the air is quite funny. It's just really not elegant. It's very ugly.
It's not going to catch on.
Yeah, no one can see you up there. It doesn't matter.
Maybe.
That's also true.
And again, could it be the first, and then there could be a more beautiful version?
It's customizable. So funny you said that. You can put flames on it.
A lot of wearable tech and whatever gets inspired by often science fiction and then gets made and has an aesthetic, yeah? So if they'd done it with a sort of futuristic looking aesthetic to it, a bit Blade Runner-y or something, then maybe it might have had a chance. But they've made it look like...
They made it vintage.
They actually have. Yeah. That's not to say it's not cool, though.
It's for function.
It is cool.
Not fashion.
I don't think it's there to be functional, though.
But would you feel safe in that flying? It doesn't look safe.
I think there's a reason that we haven't developed flying cars, and that's because it's probably a really bad idea.
Because they're too small, or...?
No, because then there's going to be a lot of people fucking flying around.
That's also true.
I think that's the main thing.
That didn't cross my mind.
and imagine so say that there's quite a few of these, then there's a traffic jam on the road. Everyone's just going to take off and it'll be carnage. Carnage, unintentional, but it'll be carnage in the air.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get one? If you could.
I'd accept one.
It looks like it's been designed for James.
What do you mean?
I can picture it. actually.
What does that mean?
I just, it looks like very small for a start. But no, I don't. Yeah, James.
It could have been designed for you before your holiday to America.
Let's I wouldn't be knitting that anymore.
I would buy it if I had the money. I think this is something that I would definitely spend money
you
on.
You do like buying into these types of fads, though,
like
isn't it?
To travel as well, quickly.
Yeah.
And conveniently.
Kybe.
You're not going to be able to get far in that.
Yeah, I'm smashing
at the most, you'd be able to get to Paris in that.
That's pretty far.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I like Paris.
Where do you want
to
go?
To our Paris listeners.
It's also got enhanced sound systems and everything, so you could have a little party
in
there.
Sick beats.
So
sick beats.
Has it been made then, or is that a prototype?
No, it's been made.
It's
been
in production,
tested.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm impressed then. And I think take the aesthetics out of it for a moment. Flying car.
It doesn't get much more innovative
than flying car.
I just think it's really late on the scene.
But like better late than
but
never.
It's still first.
That's also true.
It's hard to be late and first.
But it's not cool anymore because I expected this to happen like 20 years ago.
When I buy mine,
and it's
not
cool. It just looks really uncool.
Kyra's not letting me.
Wait, you expected this happen 20 years ago, so you're really discontented, 6-year-old.
I was. Gareth doesn't seem that impressed, so maybe he has something more impressive to bring to the table.
That was sick. You take notes, Gareth.
So I wanted to talk about the Collins Dictionary Words of the Year and words that have gone in from 2022. And there was a top one, but we'll come on to that. I don't know if it is the best one, but I'm going to run through some of these words with you. So vibe shift.
It's not a
word.
Now
made it. So, well, sayings, rather.
Yeah, no, I just hate that they call it the word of the year and then they have a load of things that aren't words.
No, exactly.
James, you do have a point.
No, it's not. It's not eligible.
You love words and, yeah.
I'm a logophile.
What's that mean?
Lover of
For
words.
For listeners that don't know?
Lover of words,
there
I think.
There you go.
I mean, this one's obvious, and vibe shift. You know what vibe shift is?
It's a cultural reset.
Yeah, there you go.
Basically.
It's a cultural reset. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Like cool shit, this cool shit podcast this week.
Wait, so that's actually in the dictionary, vibe
shift? Yeah,
it's not in the dictionary.
These words can't be. What do you mean?
Vibe shift can't be in the dictionary.
There are lots of
this
like,
is the
phrases
dictionary.
In the dictionary.
Like, they're like... Nah. These are the...
I think Colin is acting well above his station here.
These are in there. These are made it this year. Like this one, which I find really funny. I have to say, working in an agency for a while, you do meet people that do this. Quiet quitting. Has anyone heard of that?
Yeah, I have, because my brother's always... Like say to about we say about each other, you're quite quitting the family when we don't hear from them for ages.
Yeah.
So it could apply
the practice,
to that.
The practice of doing no more work than is contractually obliged to do.
I mean,
it's when you're quiet quitting. The winner is perma crisis.
I didn't like that.
Also not a word. It's a portmanteau of two words. Portmanteau would have been a much more worthy winner, thinking about it.
James, you should work for Collins Dictionary. You have a lot of knowledge.
No, I know, yeah. He seems very angry.
Why am I so riled up? What's making him angry?
Or the misuse of them, right?
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, so an extended period of instability and insecurity, like the war in Ukraine or the cost of living crisis, etc., etc. But wow. I like this word perma crisis because I think it's very sort of like culturally, very culturally modern because our phones make us believe we live in a perma crisis. I think if you went back, you know, 200 years, there's just as much going on,
yeah.
But you weren't so connected to the media and wouldn't think that we were in a perma crisis. But nowadays, because of, you know, 24-hour everything and access to that, we feel like we are living in a perma crisis.
So what is a perma crisis? A bad haircut or...?
But that's a perma crisis for you.
Yeah. Every week.
You didn't get it. Perma crisis, whatever. No one got it.
But another couple of... Well, they've made it in Partygate, which I think we all know about, which is, you know, a political scandal over gatherings. I didn't know this one, splooting.
Yeah, I saw
that. Is that what the salmon does?
Splooting.
So it's a noun, the act of lying flat on the stomach with legs stretched out, like either end of you.
But
I'm staying out, I'm splooting tonight.
I just don't get it.
What an awful image I've got in my head.
But a lot of these words already have words to describe it.
Yeah, but I think they're just making it into the dictionary.
Is this how is that the competition? It makes it into the dictionary.
Yeah.
Or are you sure? Or are they just saying here's a load of words that we think sum up this year?
I believe it was competition to get to get words in so people could vote for them.
So words of the year, and then there's only top 10.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. That makes sense why it's such an awful list. Because the Great British public voted on it.
I'm actually now siding with James. I think all of these words already have... they already have words to describe what they are.
How would you describe spluting?
Lying down.
Lying down on your phone.
Yeah, well, that, exactly. But it hasn't been
one word.
It hasn't been in the dictionary up until now.
Funny enough,
Spluting. It's not in the dictionary, and they're going to make it into the dictionary.
I don't think that's what's happening here. Spluting. So they're not going to... You can't have it in the dictionary. Partygate is when blah, blah, Boris Johnson did all that.
Yeah.
And also, I'm looking here... Kiev is in there. That's not in the dictionary. It's a proper noun. And also, I'm looking at the fact that came second. It's a bit of a kick in the teeth for the Ukrainians. They should have done a Eurovision and let them win.
I think the point with Partygate is it's now known as a sort of a political scandal, as when you're having too much fun. Like, I think there was the woman in Norway, or was it one of the Finnish countries?
Finland.
Oh, yeah, Finland.
That, one of the Finnish countries.
Yeah, one of the Finnish. It was definitely one of the Finnish countries, wasn't it? Charlonian. We've now entered the Charlonian era.
Charlonian?
Charles.
Because of Charles.
Oh, okay.
Kyra loves a royal family.
Actually, so I'm thinking about this, but the perma-crisis is awfully pessimistic as well, isn't it? Yes, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "This too shall pass," and I think history bears that to be true.
You've used that before on the podcast.
He's got a list of his wisdoms. There's 10 of them.
Genuinely, you say that. I actually do have a wall of wisdom in my bedroom.
Next culture club trip, let's all go to James's bedroom and look at his wall of wisdom.
It's a bit forward.
This is interesting, Gareth, but again, I can't give my opinion too much. What do you guys think? Kyra, do you think it's cool or a bit random?
I think it's not my favourite, but I don't know why. I just...
God, this level of insight!
I don't know. It's not blown my mind that perma-crisis is now a word.
Yeah. Thanks for the ongoing support.
As much as I've taken issue with this, I actually love it. I think it's great.
Oh, and here we go.
I did find it interesting, because a lot of them you do think, okay, I can see why that's there. So if it is as I suspect, it's just a kind of list of almost words that sum up cultural phenomena for the year, then I'm all on board. If they're going into the dictionary, then I'm not so sure.
Are you going to use them?
They're going into the dictionary.
Well, who's
going
to use them, guys? Like that,
people
that's
do.
Point,
people
right?
do. That's the point. People do use them.
Are you going to use it?
People have been saying quiet quitting. I'm not going to say permacrisis for the reasons that
I've said.
Said
partygate and quiet quitting before.
I guess spluting. I quite like.
I don't like it. I think it's a bit forced. But anyway, thanks anyway, Gareth. It's funny that you bought a story about words, considering you're dyslexic.
Yeah.
But that's good. Okay, so that's it. Definitely an improvement from last week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
But
more,
this
you know,
is what annoys me though, because. Now, because it's the same three of us, except Gareth is back, so now it's just going to look like Gareth made it better. which he didn't. I understand that's kind of the difference.
Or now Chris is not here.
Oh, that's a nasty. That's
I'm
a
not
nasty
taking any responsibility. I was hosting last week, so the stories weren't my problem.
I know I'm not the host this week, but are you going to maybe ask James which stories were his favourite this week?
Of course. Actually, I was getting onto that. Please don't mansplain. Podcast works, Gareth.
Mansplaining should be in there. That's a good one.
Mansplaining would probably be in the dictionary already, I should imagine.
Okay, so James, thank you for setting me up, Gareth. Do you have a favourite yet? Are you going to think on it? What do you think is going to make it?
It wouldn't be a very good podcast if I sat here mulling it over. I'm a big fan of Gareth's one, the Colin Dictionary Word of the Year. And I think I'm a bit of a sucker for these things. Like, you know when you get like the Spotify Wrapped and stuff like
I like that.
And this kind of reminds me of that. So that's a dead cert. And I feel slightly defensive over Kyra's flying car as well, because of the way that you two took against it and attacked it. And the fact that Gareth said it would suit me is kind of throwing me off, because I'm thinking maybe I should put it in, but then I'm also feeling slightly defensive. But I think, tell you what, As a return to form after last week's perma crisis, I think I'm going to commit to saying that they're both going in.
Yes. Great. Well done, guys.
Nice. Everyone happy?
Well, they just high-fived. It's a really nice moment. And James, where can the readers slash listeners find Cool Shit?
They know by now.
End of the week. But I mean, we might have new listeners, so tell them.
True. Hello, new listener. ZachAgency.com/cool-sht.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Kyra. And thanks, Gareth, for swapping places with me.
I'll swap places with you anytime if you want to come back.
I think I will. Thanks, guys.
Will someone ever swap places with me?
No.
No.
You talk a lot.